Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 57 of the Business Handmade podcast.
I'm Kim.
And I'm Kevin.
And Kevin is sweating.
I'm sweating. I have the jitters. I'm excited. That episode was fun.
Well, really, so we talked to Melissa of Melmo's Dog Treats, and she has such an infectious personality that you can't help but love her immediately and feel like you just get it. Like you totally understand her business. She's 110% an expert. And I feel like I completely trust her to, you know, to she could take my dog on vacation if she wanted to. I would totally trust her.
Yeah, I feel like this episode was based a lot on trust. You know, the customer that's coming to your small business has to trust you and your right. products in order to buy and repeat buy. You have to earn their trust. And especially when you're selling a product directly to the person, I mean, the dog that they care about most.
Right. You know? And it's, you know, it's such an interesting, you know, we talked about gathering data and feedback and kind of catering to your customer. And how challenging is that when your customer is an animal that can't communicate, you know, in a regular way that your other customers, you know, if you were like just selling jewelry or, you know, art in some other form, that people could communicate with you. So dogs obviously can't do that. It's like, you know, you have your handful of signs, visible signs of things that you can kind of read off of the dog, but in general, they're not talking to you. So how are you gathering that feedback, that data, and running with it and kind of pivoting all the time?
Yeah, it's a double layer because not only do you have to appeal to the customer that's buying it, but also to their pet. Their pet has to enjoy it. They have to like it and they have to be giving their feedback that that's a treat that they want to keep getting. So you think about getting that feedback from customers, it's really two layers there.
Yeah. So Melissa, you know, aside from talking about how she's learned about, you know, creating dog treats, she talked a lot about gathering feedback and how to leverage free feedback, both as the maker selling to a customer and as a maker on the maker circuit, how to get that feedback from other makers so that you can learn which shows are good for you and what you should be doing differently with your products and your booth, et cetera. So we had a really rich conversation with her. I think that really kind of covered some of the challenges of marketing your product, particularly when your customer is a pet, some of the opportunities that she's had that have been different and unique for her, and a lot of the just like really fun and silly experiences that she's had along the way.
And one of the cool things that I just learned, because I'm on her website right now, is that the spent grains in her dog biscuits are from a brewery.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
That is really cool. We love breweries.
Yeah, but she talks about some of the connections she's made too, whether it be with vets, with dog groomers, with seafood places.
Yeah.
There's all of these connections where not only can you share free information with each other to help grow both businesses, but it also might be a way to grow your business financially too.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the other challenges she was facing too, I won't give too much information away, but something that seemed kind of astronomical budget-wise at the beginning of COVID, but something that she kind of bit the bullet and went for and has really opened her up and allowed her to expand her business. So sometimes things look really scary as a small business owner, but you're able to really make that work in your favor. And she's in 20 retail locations now, which is super cool.
Including Amazon Prime.
Including Amazon Prime. Yeah, it's really interesting. So she had a lot of great information, not just from like the dog treat perspective, but from owning a small business, from, you know, bookkeeping and marketing and all of that. She just really had a lot of great information and she was hilarious. So definitely
we recommend sticking around and listening to this episode with Melmo's Dog Treats.
Enjoy.
Hey, Melissa, thanks for joining us. How are you?
We're so excited to have you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I am Melissa Morales, and I am the owner of Melmo's Dog Treat, an all-natural dog biscuit company based out of Philadelphia.
That's awesome.
Super cool.
So how did you get started?
Ha. You know, I really did fall into the business. I was running an organic pizza shop in Slice, in Fishtown.
Wow.
And it was their first organic location. So it was a lesson for all of us on natural products and how quickly they expire. And just had a locally sourced things and you know, I got to tell you, if you ever want to think you want to join the Marines, join a pizza shop first, because you'll work 70 hour weeks and you'll do it on your feet, and you will definitely do what small business owners do, which is cry in the kitchen a lot. So you should do that. But so I was doing that, and all my customers had dogs, and they were just, they wanted a better biscuit. And I thought, wouldn't this be fun? Let's get them some bougie biscuits, you know? Yeah. And they were really expensive, and the dogs didn't like them. And I thought, hey, I wonder why. I wonder what's going on. And there were ingredients I couldn't pronounce, and I couldn't understand why. Like, what is this? What's happening here? Why can't we just get to the basics? Mm-hmm. Let's do a human food grade, locally sourced, handmade biscuit that appeals to dogs. So that's where I started my business. And the biscuit I started with, honestly, it looks nothing like the biscuits I make now. I mean, I've really learned a lot. Don't believe anything that's on the internet. Please, please. Oh God, please stay off Pinterest. It's all wrong. It's all wrong. Oh. Horribly wrong.
Yeah. They have a whole, there's like a whole subgroup of fails dedicated to that. Like, you know, you look at something and it looks really pretty, and then you try to recreate it yourself and forget it. It's like, nope, doesn't look anything like the picture.
Well, not only does it not look like it, but there's a lot of misinformation out there. Right. So I'm really lucky. I grew up with show dogs. We've had dogs, lizards, guinea pigs, chinchillas, you name it, we've had it in the house. So there's always an army of vets at my disposal. So, I mean, it really debunks a lot of things that are out there. So there's been a lot of research.
Thinking about your first biscuit, how did you do that research?
Well, I started on Pinterest, and I thought, hey, there's a lot of stuff out here. Pinterest is like a shiny purse you see in the mall. It's very shiny, it's very appealing, and it's full of nothing. Mm-hmm. It's really bad. So don't get your information off of Pinterest. So really what I did was I took a very preliminary biscuit, and I started going out into the world with it, and I started going to events with it, and people would say, no, this doesn't work for me. Here's why this doesn't work for me. This isn't my dog has allergies to this. My dog can't eat this. My dog doesn't like this. So really all of, I now have 6 flavors, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. But,
so it looks nothing like what I started with. So, you know, we're in a world of hybrid dogs, designer dogs. So with that are going to come a lot of dietary issues. So you're going to want to think about that. So none of my biscuits have wheat or salt or fat or fillers. And so, yeah, it's a really clean biscuit. You know, the base is barley and flaxseed meal. So it's very wholesome. And honestly, the poop is going to stay very consistent. And if you're a dog owner, you know that poop being consistent is a big deal.
It is a big deal. We are dog owners. Yes.
There you go. And
that's really so interesting. So, you know, we think about how, you know, we talk to all of our makers about ways that they're collecting data and ways that they're surveying their audience, their customers. And this is so unique because you can't survey your customers. You can look at their poop like that. That's pretty much it.
And that's it. But you know, you see how dogs react to them, and then you talk to their owners.
Exactly. So it's like, it's a different layer of feedback, and
it's a double layer of feedback, and it's great. It's honestly.
Yeah. And these are people who really, truly they won't stop until they get the best for their pet. You know, it's like they treat their pet like their baby. So they're going to be really honest with you. And I think that's so cool. That's like a really unique way of getting feedback. And
now, what kind of dogs do you have?
We have a German Shepherd Lab mix.
Perfect. So super amazing. But you're going to have hip dysplasia issues when they get older. So what the vet is going to inevitably tell you, and what you should start thinking about, is going towards a vegan biscuit. And a vegan, more of a vegan-based diet as they get older, because it helps lighten up their frame. It's going to prolong their life. It's going to extend the years that they have. And it's really going to keep their comfort level. Yeah. So, I mean, and the reason I now have 2 biscuits that this works amazing for, and they're completely vegan, They're about 4.5 calories, loosely translated into human calories, about 4.5 calories a treat. And the reason being was when I worked at the pizza shop, there was a woman that literally was handing her dog leaves of romaine lettuce. Mm. She said, "I don't know what else to do. He needs to lighten up. He, you know, I'm trying to keep him alive." I swear to God, the dog looked at me like, "Please help me. Please, please, God help me." So, and I've just never forgot the look on that dog's face. So I created vegan biscuits. So I have, I now have a seafood biscuit. I have two vegan biscuits. I have three vegan biscuits, but one of them's full of peanut butter, so it's completely full of fat, and it's, you know.
But it's delicious.
It's delicious, but it's not something that's for, yeah, the dog is not going to be able to eat that. But yeah, so you're going to want to, you know, start veering towards more of a vegan diet as they get older, because it's really going to prolong their life.
That's our, so interesting.
We had Labradors, so we understand, you know, we had show dogs, and they all had, inevitably, they got hip dysplasia. Switching them to a vegan diet as they got older, they were 18, 19, and 20 when they passed. They weren't 13, wow. You know.
Right, yeah.
So
you're, you know, so knowledgeable. That's amazing. And that just, like, really speaks to you as a business owner. And, yeah, you obviously know what you're talking about.
The thing that I like the best about the story is you started with the biscuit and you took it on the road. You didn't waste too much time getting in your head to be like, is this right? Will people like this? You know, no. am I doing it right? You got
for the people,
feedback.
It's for the dogs.
You put it in front of people and you got the feedback.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's just really, as a small business owner who is just kind of figuring things out, I mean, it's so listen to what your customers want. And I think that's the appeal in turn of the small business, is that people are looking for that personal contact. I put a note. So when my biscuits go out from my house, which they sometimes do, there's always a sticky note that goes, you know, like, thanks for supporting small business, thanks for supporting Melmo's, whatever, you know, good luck to Taffy, Coco, Pokey, whatever your dog's name is, you know. And there's a little note. I always have a little note, and I always have a little notebook with, like, you know, my regulars, what their dogs like, what that, you know, like, it's just a cheat sheet for me. And so I once didn't put one in. And the girl was like, I sent her a thing, and I was like, I just wanted to reach out by email. You know, sometimes I put a little goofy note in. I'm sorry I didn't put one in this time. She was like, oh man, I look forward to those notes. Do you know I haven't heard from her? So if you're listening, Allie, I'm putting the notes in again. I'm so sorry. But yeah.
The notes are an important part. And I think,
oh my God.
Yeah. I think when you're in this day to day and you're prepping for shows and you're selling online and you're, you know, you're just in it and busy, it's so easy to be like, well, does this even really make a difference for me to write a note? You know, kind of a sidetrack a little bit, but if I ever sell something like on Poshmark or something, I'm like, oh, do I really have to write this note to this person? But I think that that's really part of the experience.
You personalize it.
Apparently, yes, it's a big deal.
It is a big deal. Like, and on Poshmark, they make it a big deal. Like, oh, you should definitely send some sort of correspondence. And the first time I did it, I was like, why? This person doesn't care. Like, they just want to buy the thing. That's, they don't care to hear from me. But everyone does it. And it's just so part of that standard practice. And I think it's, that really
I liked the makeup thing. And it kept being addressed like that. It was like, to the beautiful and marvelous Melissa. And I was like, oh! So yeah, I don't know why I never thought about it like that. Even the little post-it notes, you know.
Yeah, it's a handwritten note. It doesn't matter what it's on. I mean, you probably don't want to send it like on the back of a cereal box or something, but, you know, it doesn't have to be super fancy. And for the people who do invest in like tissue paper and note cards that match their brand perfectly, like all the power
to you. Have money. That. I don't have
go
money.
For it. Go for it. But I think people just really appreciate to hear from you as the maker, because it almost like takes down that wall, and it's like, yeah, that is really a person, and yeah, they probably do have that notebook with Taffy's name in it on their desk, so they know about you and they know about your dog.
And then they'll buy again. It encourages repeat customers.
Actually, well, just a quick side note. Taffy's real name, Taffy is a show dog, and her real name is Miss Butter of Alsace.
Oh my gosh.
She's very regal. I've just like outed her. Yeah.
Taffy is a real dog.
That nickname doesn't do her justice.
So my brand is actually based, he's a little corgi and he's a real dog and he lives in Fishtown and his name is Yuki. Aww. And he's adorable.
That is such a cute story.
Yeah, he's a great dog. He's not even my dog, but he was my most enthusiastic dog client. And when I left the pizza shop, they literally had to change their dog walking route because it just got messy. They would be dragging him away and
poor guy.
Yeah, he couldn't understand like why I was not there too.
You left such an impact on him.
Well, yeah, he trained me really well. I probably stayed longer because he was there.
Oh, that's so sweet. So what do you think are some of the biggest challenges that you face when it comes to marketing your product?
I mean, there's a need for truth, I think. There's a need for owners to be heard. And there's a need for trust in the industry. In the land of shiny, shiny is my favorite color. It's so important when I do shows, and even though I'm in 20 locations at this point, but I do shows because I know that if they talk to me, they're going to understand that I know what they need. I know what they want. I know what they're looking for. And if I can't give it to them, I'm going to point them in the right direction. So
yeah, that's awesome.
There's a need and there's a trust thing that happens. And that's why people are going to small business more and more. You know, there's just so much misinformation and so much hype out there without anything backing it up. So
yeah, that's 100%. Once a customer gets to understand who you are behind the business and knows that you have their best interest in mind and you're knowledgeable about your product and you're doing things the right way, the more they're going to trust you and want to buy from you. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think you kind of become the expert, and you know, it's not easy to be a pet owner. And I think that's why, you know, vets are in such high demand, you know, because we don't know like what our pets need. We're trusting that something's wrong. You know, we can obviously pick up on the very visible signs or, you know, whatever it is, but then we immediately default to the expert
professional
because I for sure don't know, you know, it would be the same thing as if I had an eternal newborn. I wouldn't always know, you know, you do the best you can and you kind of figure it out and you'll learn cues from your pet, but you don't necessarily know exactly what's wrong or exactly what they need. So to be able to talk to someone like you, and you know, in the few minutes we've spent with you, it's so obvious that you really are invested in your business and you know what you're talking about. And then that does take that weight off the pet owner's shoulders to be like, okay, yes, maybe I do research this stuff in my free time and I find enjoyment in learning about dogs or whatever. But I think there's that whole other level of understanding that you have that the regular, you know, person probably wouldn't have. They don't have the experience in, you know, trying different things and having experimented with recipes and seeing what works and getting the feedback and learning about specific breeds.
It's not just that. I'm a pain in the ass to the vets that I that I know. You have no idea. I email them. Oh my goodness gracious. They give me so much good and free information, I have to tell you. But you know, all my animals go there. I have the biggest mouth on the planet. Everybody gets my business. Like that, I'm always like, oh, go here, get talk to this person, you know. So sometimes it's just not about the hard sell. Sometimes it's just trying to get people in front of people that can help them better than I can.
But you said it the best way, like free data, free information, whether you're giving it or receiving it. I think that's really what keeps small business in business is having that information.
And I'm completely obsessed. I mean, I'm such a bore. I promise you, if you're a small business, you're going to bore the shit out of all of your friends and family. Join a networking group because there's other people. There's
you have to.
Smart people that also bore their neighbors and friends. They're just going to bore the shit out of them. So please join a networking group because everybody wants to talk about their business and they want to complain about their business. But the only other people that understand are other small businesses.
Yes,
so,
exactly. You have to commiserate. You have to celebrate. You have to do all of those things with other small business owners because there's only so much that your friends and family could possibly understand about what you do, you know, and then before there's a point where they're like, how's that thing you're working on? Like, they, you know, they don't necessarily know. They're like, yep.
We were supposed to do this yesterday, and I was totally like, no, no. My, why didn't anybody ask me about my podcast?
Well, my dad told me, like, last week, I guess, that he listened to this podcast, and I was like, oh, you do? Like, I didn't think that you sought out more of me and my business than what I already volunteer on. Nice. Yeah. He's cute. So on the flip side,
just put a mental note for me. I'm like, get on my dad. Get him started.
Target acquired. Right. So on the flip side of the challenges that you face, what do you think are some of the unique opportunities that you have specifically working with pet owners?
So when I have a bad day in my business, I say, crap, all I do are the two things I hate worst: math and dishes. That's all I do, math and dishes. But on a great day, I get to talk to other dog owners about good nutrition. I get to see their dogs. Dude, I get to hang out with dogs all day.
That's an amazing job.
I get to get covered in dog slobber and get side-eyed by my dog when I get home. It's just, you know, it's the best job in the world, and it's the worst job in the world, you know, just like any job. You know, I really want to go to high schools, and I want to give inspirational speeches like, do you enjoy being poor? Do you enjoy being poorer than that? Do you enjoy crying in your kitchen? Do you enjoy standing on your feet for 14 to 17 hours a day? Do you enjoy talking to the IRS? Yeah. If you do, you too can be a small business owner.
Yeah. Oh my god.
But, I mean, it's a great job. You know, I get to meet people with dogs I've never seen before. I get to have a lot of fun, and I get to put a good product out. You know, in the end, if I can't make them happy, I can direct them to somebody who can. And that's just the best part of my day.
Yeah, I think getting that feedback one way or another, hearing from them again, whether it was that they got something from you or they pursued that other avenue that you recommended, I mean, that probably feels really good.
And it's kind of cool because, I mean, the year before the pandemic, I did 154 shows. Like, I was a baller, dude. I was out there. Wow. I did four and five shows a week. If you had some sort of something, I was there. If you needed a raffle basket, dude, I had a pile of baskets just ready to just put a bunch of stuff in with some Easter grass and send it on its way. Yeah. So I, you know, charity is really important to me. You know, doing good deeds and supporting other small businesses. And, you know, I'm on the farm to city circuit. So, you know, shopping local is important. And so it's just all the core values, you know, everything is made by hand. You know, I've got a couple of bakers. I have someone that's very young. I have someone that's very old. You know, we have people of color. We have gay, straight, bisexual, you name it. It's so funny. We're like the United Colors of Benetton, which doesn't even exist anymore. But it's just one of those things that just kind of happened. So we coexist really well, mostly because I'm the boss and people let me do that. So, you know, everything flows smoothly as long as people do what I tell them. No, kidding.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You also have really diverse perspectives too. And, you know, people with different experiences that can comment on, you know, whether something would be interesting, appealing to them, to their demographic. I think that really is, you know, almost invaluable, because now you have that insight to be able to cater to people of all different ages, all, you know, all different groups, like pet owners of literally anywhere, because you have that experience of working with people that can weigh in and say, like, yeah, well, you know what, I think this would be really good, and just kind of be that sounding board for your business.
You know, I've got all this data now that people tell me I'm supposed to be looking at. You know, this is my demographic. But I have to tell you, when I'm out at the shows, my demographic, all my customers have grand dogs. That's Aww. Their thing.
Yeah.
They all have brand dogs, and they're not afraid to tell me about it.
They so probably I have a grand whole dog. Wallet full of photos of their grand dogs, too.
They have grand dogs, and they want to... So apparently, like, the kids are dropping them off, or their kids are living nearby, and they're just... This is like their doggy daycare. They're dropping them off with the grandparents. So That's the grandparents great. Have, like, disposable income, and they're very invested, and they're going to try just about anything. So... It's pretty cool that they're out there, but we'd want to keep them on the right track. So
yeah,
you know, that's the challenge right there is to, okay, don't just buy just anything, you know, just like, let's stick with one thing. You know, if they like this and their poop stays regular and there's no issues, coat is all shiny, stick with this. Don't keep trying this. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're a lot of fun.
A big part of your business is being face to face with customers like that. Was it always in your plan to be in retail, and how is that different? Because you can't talk to the customer face to face there.
So it was always a plan. And the pandemic kind of forced that.
Mm-hmm.
So, the bags, I used to think I knew what expensive was. I didn't, I had no idea. So literally, I took all my pandemic unemployment. I just saved up as much as I could, and I put forward, and I bought these amazing bags. I call them my super swankies, and they are air and light resistant. And because I have a natural product, it will break down quicker once air and light hits it. So,
yeah.
The bags that I once thought were expensive had flaws. You know, things weren't lasting more than 3 months. So that's not really a viable thing to be in a retail location. So now I've got these beautiful super swanky bags that are air and light resistant. And they're you know, I have a heat sealing thing, and they're pretty awesome. They have the UPCs already built on them, and they're
cool.
they just look like shiny Corvettes. And it was all the money, all of it. So. But it really enabled me to go forward. So I just got into the Giant at 23rd and Arch down in Center City.
Wow.
Super amazing. I know. I'm very happy.
That's awesome.
IGA, I'm on Amazon Prime. I'm in Burton Hand in Lancaster. I'm just everywhere, dude. I'm everywhere. I'm in New Jersey. I'm in 20 locations. So
that's awesome. You should be so proud of yourself.
I'm tired.
And tired also.
I'm just so tired. Yeah. Everybody's like, oh, how's that feel? I'm like, tired. I'm just tired. Stop talking. Give me some ginkgo biloba and just let me go.
Just think about all the avenues, the new avenues that you have for feedback now if you're in all of these places.
Well, I do. I'm in, I started with a doggy daycare, and they started with 5 dogs, you know, so we were really... both really young. They now have 3 locations. They have hundreds of dogs. So we've kind of grown together. I'm now about to hit another doggy daycare. I'm in a dog groomer. I'm in a veterinary clinic. So, you know, it's just putting the work in and just establishing trust. It's just all the small business stuff that everybody goes through.
And it sounds like, you know, the money that you spent for the super swanky bags, it's like growing pains, right? Like nobody initially sets out thinking I'm going to spend $1 million on bags. And it's probably almost painful to do that at first, to like open your wallet and put the money into bags that you don't even know. And especially during a pandemic, like how are sales going to be this year? Is it worth me making that investment? So to do that, but then to look back and see how you've expanded, and now you're in 20 locations, it's like, oh, okay, so that was like that growing pain, that stepping stone that allowed you to now be in those 20 locations.
So let me tell you how not painful that was. It was not $9,875.56. Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, but here's the thing. So I had to buy 5,000 of each of the flavors, and I have 5 flavors. So... Then the guy calls me. Now he's a real sport. He calls me and he says, there's an over under ratio. And I was like, Mike, I don't even know what you're talking about right now, but I don't have any more money. And he was like, well, the over under ratio is sometimes we run a little over, sometimes we run a little under. So it's never quite 5,000. And I was like, Mike, my mic's getting really high. I'm starting to cry again. You have to tell me what's happening. So it ended up being 27,000 bags that I got.
Whoa.
Which live on a pallet next to my bed, which is super motivator, because do I want to be homeless and live on this pallet with 27,000 bags, or do I want to get up and sell dog biscuits? Right. So,
wow. Get up and sell. So how did they mess that up? Or, you know, maybe this is a math thing, and I'm also with you on that I'm math is not my forte, but like, I don't understand how that happens. If you,
he tells me it's they can't stop it. You know, it comes close to 5,000 and they can stop the machine, but sometimes it runs over and sometimes the guy isn't paying attention.
I'm like, 27,000?
So right. So it was supposed to be 25,000 and I ended up with 27.
Okay, yes. Yes. Now, I get it. Later. All right, that makes more sense. I was thinking of like that episode of I Love Lucy where like Lucy and Ethel are shoving chocolates.
Oh my god, the chocolates.
Like, oh my god, why are we done?
So I'm going to give a shout out now to, I'm doing an event this weekend, and this won't air right away, but I'm doing an event, and it's pretty important. It's Camp for Kids organization, and what they do is they send autistic children and their families to camp.
I love that.
And when summer camp is over, they make sure that there's vacations, there's, you know, things that they can do as a family together to learn and grow together and have experiences. So I'm going to give you the email because it's super important. You can check these guys out. It's info@campforkids.org. Camp is with a K, of course. info@campforkids.org. Check them out. They're really amazing. So, you know, this is depending on the weather, which is the only problem with doing.
Right.
It's all a crapshoot with the weather.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, we're going to get 60,000 people out. You know, the soccer team from the Philadelphia soccer team is going to be there. There's going to be a food truck festival. It's going to be a bounce house. It's going to be a big deal. So, you know, we're bringing the thunder and the noise.
Cool. So that whole event goes to Camp for Kids.
100% of the proceeds goes to Camp for Kids. Yes.
Awesome.
It's amazing.
Awesome. I love
that. Of course, we have a giant raffle basket, of course.
Yeah.
So I just paired with Small World Seafood out of down around 4th and Spring Garden area. Sorry, I don't remember the exact address, guys. But they're Small World Seafood called me up and they said, listen, we want to do something. You know, we like what you do and we want to do something together. And I went down there and I met with them, and they're pretty awesome dudes. And they gave me all their salmon and halibut and wahoo trim. Some of this fish is so beautiful. It looks better than the stuff I buy in the grocery store. And yeah. I'm just like, man, this is amazing.
What a good connection.
This is my new biscuit, and it is a super biscuit, dude. It is super. It has omega-3s. It's got cinnamon for anti-inflammatory properties. It has turmeric with a pinch of black pepper for joint absorption. Has bananas for potassium. It's got, it's just like the best biscuit I ever made.
This was sounding delicious to me until you said banana. Like, I would have eaten it. And then you said banana in with the fish. And that,
but you
like...
have, no, it's just a minute amount, but it adds the potassium. So,
right. No, I'm sure the dogs love it. But for me personally, I was like, I would eat this. And then you said banana with fish. And that was,
well, so I'm famous and infamous for saying, oh, no problem, no problem. And then I come home and cry. So they asked me for biscuits and I said, no problem. And then they asked me for 300 bags of biscuits. And I said, no problem, but my blood's really high again. And then they asked me for 50 more bags and I started hyperventilating and I was like, no problem. So
this is fine.
I delivered them, right. You know that that little cartoon where the guys sitting in the flames keep coming up around.
Yes.
So, fine. So right, that was me.
Oh my god.
My favorite.
But they're amazing. So I delivered all these and I was very proud and I'm standing there. And I'm like, yes. And he goes, all right, let's talk about cat treats. And I was like, no problem. But I literally almost started hysterically laughing about it. I had to leave because I was like, if you just excuse me, we'll talk next week.
I just need a minute.
So my next question was going to be, what's your best tip for other makers? But it sounds like just say no problem.
Just say no problem. Go home and hyperventilate.
And you'll be fine. Yeah.
I don't know if that's sound advice. You know, a couple episodes back, we were talking about self-care. I don't know if that jives well.
No, I think tips for other makers. So for things like, go to Facebook, listen, Facebooks have been, Facebook groups are great for like, get out there and do some shows, you know, show off what you do, because you're going to learn a lot. And the Facebook groups have been great because there's somebody that's already done the show that you're doing for the first time. So they're going to give you hints on how to set up, where to set up, you know, who's a good promoter, who's not. I mean, it's, Facebook's been great.
Yeah.
Not so much algorithms and stuff like that. We're not getting that technical, but
just the connections.
Just for basic information, you know, it's pretty on the money, you know.
Yeah, so for networking, and there. You're so spot on with like feedback. I see in some of the groups, you know, people posting like, what would you change about this? And it could be their product, their booth, it could be anything, but it would just be like, what would you do differently with this? And people will give you their honest feedback. The same
thing. It's exactly.
Yeah.
And it's free, dude. It's stuff people pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to figure out, like marketing tips and things like this. You can get it for free. People
free
will
focus group.
Yeah. Again, join a networking group. Remember, you're going to bore the shit out of everybody. Join a networking group. You're the only ones that care about you. Take care of your tax stuff. Take care of your tax stuff. Get legal. Get your EIN number. Get a bookkeeper. I have one. She's weeping as we speak. Sorry, Clarissa. Poor Clarissa. I should send her some flowers. I love her. Actually, I'll probably send her a bottle of something very strong.
That is perfect.
But ultimately, be obsessed. Be obsessed with your business. Be so obsessed with your business that you don't come up for air. You know, be obsessed. You know, people are like, find the balance. No, be obsessed. Be a bull.
Yeah.
People will feel that energy. People will get excited when you're excited. Okay, people will be excited for you.
I'm excited right now.
I'm excited. I can't wait to send your dog biscuits. Dude, I want to see your dog.
We were just thinking we would sample them ourselves. We'd like have a name.
That's the hashtag. So there's a couple of hashtags out there. Our first one, and we're getting a trademark. And by we, I mean me. I always say we because
right. No, that's me. A small business thing. You say we, but really it's like, who is we?
It's me. It's me. I'm sitting in front. I'm literally packing for this show I have this weekend. I'm sitting in front of about 90 bags that I have to still weigh and seal and mark. And yeah, so it's me. But I mean, I'm trademarking it. The hashtag is people tested, dog approved.
Aww.
Because we try everything.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
all ingredients. It's five ingredients or less. You can count them on one hand. You can feel good about the ingredients. You can try them. I really wouldn't eat beef liver, but you can go for it if you want to. I do some jerkies and things like that. I have a wholesaler's license, and sometimes I work with a natural dog biscuit bakery to just kind of expand my line on some grain-free things that like soft treats. Soft treats are a challenge because, you know, it needs a certain amount of moisture. And some of that, you just can't do that. You know, it's just, it's harder to do if you don't have like a warehouse. So sometimes I just bring in some of that extra stuff just so I have something to offer them that is a good, wholesome product that I can believe in. But mostly it's just me.
That's awesome.
So, my bakers.
So tell everyone where they can find you.
Okay. Goodness gracious. MelmosDogTreats.com.
Perfect.
MelMos, DogTreats.com. You can find me there. You can find me on Amazon Prime. You can find me in Monster Pets in Port Richmond IGA and Rittenhouse Pets. 1776 in the Cherry Hill Mall. I am on the Craft Farmhouse in Chalfont. I am in PHL Philly on Pine Street. I'm in Bristol. I'm in Bake Shop on 20th. I'm everywhere, dude. So just look up Melmo's Dog Treats. So you'll find me.
Yeah, we'll link it in the show notes, and we'll also put your social media there too.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that's also me. So, you know.
That's important, yeah.
But thank you so much. Thanks for taking the time. This is really awesome.
It's been so great chatting with you.
Yeah, you've been great.
We love that. Put my, you know, we're on Instagram at Melmo's Dog. So, you know, send me pictures of your dogs. We love to show them off. Nobody wants to see pictures of me and crying in the kitchen, but you know, just want to say. So, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, Melissa. It was great chatting with you.
Thank you.
Okay. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast, Business Handmade. You can find us, Market Space Vendor Events, on Facebook and Instagram. Our handle is at Market Space Vendor Events, or you can find us at marketspacevendorevents.com.